Hello, everyone, and welcome to our service for Sunday, the 21st of June. It's the longest day of the year. Today is also Father's Day, and we want to honour all those dads and grandpas and godfathers and those who act as father figures in our lives who might be tuning in today. In our service, we're going to be thinking particularly about normality. I suspect that in the current pandemic, most of our lives have been turned upside down, and the way everything happens, from shopping to school to church, and our interactions even with other people, have changed dramatically over these past few months. Whenever Jesus is important in our daily lives, he brings a new normality, a new approach and way of thinking about what's the most important things in life. Jesus calls us to live in a new way. And while that is challenging, it's also really inspiring and exciting. And our opening hymn for today's service talks all about the values of his kingdom as we sing, "Your kingdom come, O God." Our Bible reading today is from Luke's Gospel, and it's a reading that tells the story of one man's encounter with Jesus and how that encounter changed his perception of what was normal forever. It was an encounter that brought hope and new life to him, and yet it left many others feeling challenged and threatened because they hadn't seen anything like this ever happening before. So our reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 8th chapter, beginning to read at the 26th verse. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Here ends our Bible reading. May I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wanted us to think together for a few moments today about an important question. And it's an important question not just for us as individuals, but for our church and also for society as a whole. And I believe it's a question that takes on so much more significance after the past 3 months that we have all lived through. And the question is this: what is normal? What is normal? A while back, I heard an interview on the radio with a guitarist from a rock band called The Script. And this guitarist is Irish. He lives in London. And he spoke of how in his son's school, in the past year and a half, they had been having drills about what to do in the event of a terrorist attack. Now, this interview that I heard took place before the current pandemic. But the guitarist spoke in the interview about how his 7-year-old son then came home from school and started to ask him, "Dad, what's terrorism?" And in the interview, he spoke about the difficulty of explaining such a complex phenomenon to a 7-year-old child. And yet, following a series of terrorist-related incidents in London, it seemed like quite a sensible and responsible thing for schools to be doing. So is it now normal for children to go around wondering if they might be attacked at any point, simply because of their beliefs or their value system, or because they live in a certain part of the world. Or as we think of more recent news that has been dominating our newspapers and television screens, is it normal for people of color to expect to be treated differently because of the color of their skin? Is this normal? I love to read, and one of the most memorable literary creations in the past 20 years has been the character Paula Spencer, who was created by the Irish writer Roddy Doyle. If you've never heard of Paula Spencer, she was 39 years old. She was a pretty lady, but she had aged prematurely due to the stresses of her life, and she was addicted to cigarettes and alcohol. And the reason that her character got so much publicity and recognition in the literary supplements was that Paula Spencer was at the heart of a couple of novels Roddy Doyle wrote about domestic violence. She was a frequent visitor to accident and emergency in her local hospital. And when asked what had happened as they tended to broken bones in her face or broken teeth, she spoke about bumping into this or that, or tripping and falling. And the title of that first book about her is simply The Woman Who Walked Into Doors. Now, to be honest, it's a pretty harrowing read, and it was made into a televised drama series. But again, it just captures the way that people normalize what is abnormal and terrible behavior. We wonder if it is somehow our fault when we're beaten or we're verbally abused, and we maybe make excuses as to why the perpetrator did what they did. As Jesus makes his way to the Gerasen country, he meets a man who seems anything but normal as he gets off the boat. Now, this man didn't conform to society's norms. He hadn't worn clothes or lived in a house, but he lived in the tombs. He was possessed by demons, or in modern terminology, we might say he had a mental illness. And as he lurched around shouting at Jesus to leave him alone, we see that society didn't know how to handle this man. He was bound and chained hand and foot, kept under guard, and yet he possessed such terrifying strength that he could break the chains, and he'd been driven by his demons into solitary places. Now just think about the sense of isolation in such an existence. In the wake of the past few months, I'm aware that many people have a very personal experience of social isolation. But let's consider this man's life for a few moments. Was it normal? Well, I don't think it was. It somehow becomes normal to avoid such a person because you'd be frightened, wouldn't you, for your own personal safety. And yet what I notice about Jesus is that Jesus doesn't buy into that normal. Instead, he speaks to this man with compassion and tenderness. Do you remember the way he asked him his name? And he gives permission to the demons to go out of him and enter a herd of pigs who charge down a steep bank and drown. And what's interesting then for me is that people in the region are scared of the new normal. This man, who all his life had been so disturbed, is now sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. And they begged Jesus to leave. They begged him to leave because they were frightened of his power. Now I wonder, do we get resigned to a certain kind of normal in the church? A normal which tells us that miracles don't happen anymore. A normal that tells us the church is in decline and it's likely to continue in that direction. Do we get hold of a certain normal that tells us that children and young people would have absolutely no interest in Jesus, that his life is irrelevant to them? Do we get hold of a normal that tells us that our neighbors and children who haven't worshipped anywhere for years couldn't be touched by his love? Or do we maybe believe that normal that tells us the reason that things aren't working out right now in our lives is simply because you're no good, that you don't deserve good things to happen in your life, or that you'll never be as good or as clever as your mum or dad or your brother or your sister? Or do we believe that normal that tells us that the secret burden or addiction that we have been hiding for many years, well, that's just the way it is, and nothing is ever going to change? You see, the beautiful thing that we keep discovering in the Gospels is that whenever Jesus enters a person's life, if Jesus enters your life or my life, he brings with him a new normal, the kingdom of God. He brings with him an unswerving belief in human potential. He says, I see you exactly how you are, and I accept you right there at that point. You don't have to do anything to earn my approval or my love. It is all there for you. I see your struggles and your scars. I see the mistakes that you've made, and some of them have been terrible. But I also see what you can become. And I see that you and I together can do amazing things in my strength if you will just allow me into your life and open the door of your heart that has been closed to me. We see in our gospel reading today that this man wanted to go with Jesus wherever he was going and to be part of what he was doing. And it's interesting that when we look at it, it's interesting what Jesus tells him to do. He tells him to go home and to tell how much God has done for you. And isn't it true that it can sometimes be a lot easier to tell other people we don't know about how important God is in our lives? But it's a lot harder to tell those kinds of stories when people know us well. Some years ago, I was invited back to my old school's 250th anniversary service to preach at a service in the school chapel. And while it was a great honor to be asked, it was, as they say, a tough gig. because it was hard for me to stand up in front of my old teachers and a lot of my old schoolmates, people who knew what I was like back then, and to say, well, you know, this is the thing that drives me now, this faith that I found. I found a new way. I found this new faith, and since discovering this, things have never been the same in my life. And just as Jesus didn't accept that man's normal, and he did something compassionate to address and to change it, so we too are all called as a church community to build a new normal after this pandemic. We're called to make our society a better, a more compassionate, a more Christ-filled place. So may we heed his call and make the difference that he would want us to make. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for the new normal that you introduce to our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that because of your death and resurrection, you have defeated the power of sin and death over us forever. Thank you for all those new realities and truths that you bring to us, that we are beloved and precious in your sight, that new beginnings are possible, and the opportunity to make a fresh start is there for any of us who want to make that step. We thank you for speaking light into the darkness, hope into our fear and anxiety, comfort into our sorrows and struggles, and for reassuring us that even we can be part of building these realities where you have placed us. So help us, we pray, to commit our lives to building your kingdom here on earth as you equip us to be part of your community of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we think of a very new normal for our society following the current pandemic, we pray for great wisdom in considering all the guidelines and requirements for the return to public worship. We pray also today for schools and businesses, for shops and amenities, as they all try to set in place the measures to protect the public and all who use their buildings, services, and facilities. Lord, we pray for your wisdom and your patience as these things are prepared and implemented. And we pray for those who have the responsibility of deciding on time frames to be given your wisdom and your courage. We also pray today against a second wave or surge of the virus, and for all who are involved in medical research to find a vaccine, asking you to bless their endeavors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, for the poor, and for those in any kind of trouble. Today we pray with thanksgiving for all dads and grandpas and father figures in our lives, as we give you our thanks for their guidance and help. We also want to remember in our prayers those who've lost their dads in recent times, or those who have a difficult connection with that person in their lives. And so we pray for encouragement, for healing, and for that capacity to give good guidance and to be a good role model. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we take a quiet moment now just to pray for those who are particularly in our hearts as we listen into this service today. Maybe we know someone going through a difficult time, a time of illness or bereavement, a time of challenge or struggle. So, Lord, we pray for your healing grace to be poured out upon all who are coming to our minds over these next couple of moments. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we join our prayers together in the prayer our Saviour Christ taught us to pray, as we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining with us in our worship today. And our closing hymn is a hymn that reminds us of the power and the inspiration that Jesus brings to our situation when we believe and trust in him. We sing, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear."